Tomorrow, millions of Christians around the world will go to church to worship and contemplate a divine Jesus revealed to them in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In her book, Beyond Belief, Elaine Pagels presents a challenge to the traditional view of Jesus of Nazareth. She tells the story of the secret Gospel of Thomas. It's one of many early Christian texts found in 1945 in Nag Hammadi, Egypt. Like the familiar Gospels, it purports to tell a first-person account of the life and teachings of Jesus. But it didn't make it into the official biblical canon, partly, at least, because it offers a very different view of the divinity of Jesus. Elaine Pagels, a religion professor at Princeton University, joins us from our studio in New York. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us how the Gospel, the secret Gospel of Thomas, differs from the other Gospels.
The Gospel of John in the New Testament, for example, talks about Jesus as the Son of God and as the only begotten Son of God, that is an absolutely unique being on whom you must believe in order to be saved. The Gospel of Thomas pictures Jesus as a remarkable presence, but as a voice that comes from the divine source from which everything comes. There's a wonderful saying, 77, in which Jesus says, I am the light that is above all things. I am all things. All things come forth from me. All things return to me. Split a piece of wood, and I am there. Lift up the rock, and you will find me. So this suggests that Jesus manifests the divine energy of God in the world. But the good news, according to the Gospel of Thomas, is that so do you, and so do I, and so do all beings. In fact, even rocks and stones.
Why was this gospel lost for 2,000 years?
Well, we know what the actual circumstances are, that in the year 367, the Archbishop of Alexandria, who was trying to consolidate all Christians in Egypt under his authority, sent a letter out at Easter and told the monks to destroy all the illegitimate secret books that they had. And he said, you can keep 27, but destroy all the rest. And it's very interesting that that 27 is the first list we have of what we call the New Testament collection. There are 27 books. And apparently the monks took all these other books, over 50, and hid them in a huge jar and buried them. This is, of course, contrary to the Archbishop's order. But that is what saved these texts so that we now can begin to read a completely different side of early Christianity.
Mm-hmm. And the bishop was telling them to destroy these texts because of the sort of foment within the Christian community during the period after Jesus' death.
Yes, there were really too many points of view. You know, there were too many kinds of gospels, apparently. Too many people claiming that they had understanding of the mysteries. And my own guess about that very interesting question of why these are excluded has to do with, if we have God's image in us, we can find access to God by ourselves. That might suggest you don't need a bishop, you don't need a priest, you might not even need Jesus. You just have to find that access again.
Not a very easy concept to build a church around.
It's a very hard concept to build a church around, and probably it was a kind of teaching that was reserved for people who wanted to explore their spiritual life on a deeper level.
It turns out that there was actually a great competition between the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of John, which talks a lot about the divinity of Christ, a competition to get into the official canon.
Yes. What startled me when I was working on this was to realize that the Gospel of John, which is so familiar to most Christians, that it's written partly as a polemic against views of Jesus and views of his message, which the author of John thinks are completely wrong. And some of those one finds in the Gospel of Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you begin to put them together, it's as though you can listen into a conversation between different groups of the followers of Jesus that takes place at the end of the first century. And what they're arguing about is the question, who is Jesus and what is the good news? What is the gospel about him?
And in the Gospel of John, Jesus puts down Thomas in ways that don't appear in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Isn't that correct?
That's absolutely right. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Thomas is just a name on a list. In fact, I don't know of a single episode in which Thomas figures in those Gospels. He's just one of the 12, he's called. And in Matthew and Luke, he's one of those to whom Jesus appears after his resurrection and is whom Jesus designates as his representative and apostle. What's startling to see is that in the Gospel of John, John describes Jesus appearing to his disciples after his death and saying, you know, you are my apostles. He gives them his power. He gives them his authority. And the next line, John says, is, but Thomas was not with them when he came. So the author of the Gospel of John is trying to make it very clear that even though you might think he's an apostle, he actually wasn't at the crucial meeting in which Jesus designated the rest, and he was left out. Not only that, but when they told him, you know, we've seen the Lord, he didn't believe it. So he gets this reputation by which Christians know him as Doubting Thomas.
Elaine Pagels, the author of Beyond Belief, The Secret Gospel of Thomas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.